Welcome back to the broadcast, my friends. It's Eric, the Freedom Screamer. We have Eric and Lori for the second hour tonight. Excellent report at the first hour with John Lamb. So, is it any surprise to anyone that now there is absolute proof that the government has? I mean, it's almost comical. I almost can't believe it myself. And I'm an expert on this corruption thing. They have an assassination list, a hit list, to kill the patriots. Go get them, kill them, slaughter the whole thing, scorched earth. I mean, it's like the Wehrmacht or the Romans all over again, and nothing's changed. This is disgusting, man. The Justice Department ought to be coming down on this like a ton of bricks. It's going to completely ignore it because we wouldn't want people to know that we're in the ninth year of the Obama administration. Lori Anderson, back to you.
Hi, yes, absolutely, Eric. And as the corruption heats up, I don't know how many of you are aware, but today there was a House Judiciary Committee oversight hearing with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And that turned out to be very interesting. They held that in the Rayburn House office building. And some very interesting information came forth, as well as some pretty heated discussions. If you don't know what that is about, of course, the special counsel that has been investigating the Trump situation, the Trump-Russia connection, if you will, with Mueller, and an individual that previously, Peter Strzok, was on this team. Well, Peter Strzok got caught with his hands in the cookie jar with over 10,000 text messages that were sent between two top FBI investigators, one of whom led both the Clinton email investigation. There's a reason I'm going with this, because it always somehow seems to connect back to Bundy's situation when it comes to the Clinton Uranium One and all of that good information. So this man, Peter Strzok, it's reported that he not only was part of leading the Clinton email investigation and the early Trump-Russia probe, those texts have now been turned over to Congress, and they were turned over on Tuesday evening and promptly leaked to the press. The profanity-laced messages reveal a deep hatred for Trump between veteran agent Peter Strzok and FBI attorney Lisa Page, who were having an extramarital affair while working together on the Clinton email investigation when texts were exchanged. Now, remember way back when Comey changed the terms from negligent and grossly negligent to, you know, remember there was no quote-unquote intent. Remember how that was changed? Well, this man was behind it. I'm going to let you hear a little bit of interesting information that came out today, and then we'll address a little bit more of this. But I want the listeners to be able to hear this just in case they haven't been able to do so. If you would, Mike, go ahead and play LV2.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Gowdy, for 5 minutes.
What in the hell is going on with the Department of Justice and the FBI? The reason we have special counsel, this is a very important point, and you know it, the reason we have special counsel is because of a conflict of interest. The regulation itself specifically makes reference to a conflict of interest. And we don't like conflicts of interest because it undercuts people's confidence in both the process and the result. So let's be really clear why we have special counsel. There was either a real or perceived conflict of interest that we were fearful would either impact the result or people's confidence in the process. That's why we have something called special counsel, and that's why we have special counsel in this fact pattern. And then, lo and behold, those who are supposed to make sure there are no conflicts of interest seem to have a few of their own. There's a senior prosecutor who sent obsequious emails to a fact witness. She can be described as nothing other than a fact witness. She's a really important fact witness if you pursue the line of inquiry that my Democrat friends want to pursue. They got off of collusion, and now they're on obstruction of justice. She may be the most important fact witness in an obstruction of justice case. And the senior prosecutor for this conflict of interest-free special counsel sent a fawning, obsequious email to a fact witness. And then we have prosecutors assigned to conduct this investigation who donated almost exclusively to one candidate over another. And then we have a prosecutor assigned to this conflict of interest-free team that attended what was supposed to be, what he'd hoped to be, a victory party for Secretary Clinton. And we have a senior DOJ official, Mr. Deputy Attorney General, with an office that used to be two doors down from yours, meeting with Fusion GPS. And Fusion GPS, of course, was paying for Russian dirt on the very person that they're supposed to be objectively investigating. And then that same senior DOJ official's wife, the one that met with Fusion GPS, his wife was on the payroll of Fusion GPS. And then we have a senior agent assigned to investigate Secretary Clinton's email, help draft the exoneration letter, where we changed the language from grossly negligent to extremely careless, interviewed Secretary Clinton in an interview I've never seen, and I doubt you have either in your career as a prosecutor, interviewed Michael Flynn, was actively involved in the investigation into the Trump campaign before the inspector general found his text. So this agent, in the middle of almost everything related to Secretary Clinton and President Trump, sent pro-Clinton texts, anti-Trump texts to his paramour in response to being told maybe he is where he is to protect the country from that menace, Donald Trump. He said, I can protect our country at many levels. And then he said Hillary Clinton should win 100 million to nothing. Now think about that, Mr. Deputy Attorney General. That's a pretty overwhelming victory. 100 million to zero. And when I read that last night, what I thought was this conflict of interest free senior agent of the FBI can't think of a single solitary American who would vote for Donald Trump. That's where the zero comes in. Not a single solitary American he can imagine would vote for Donald Trump. This is the conflict of interest free special agent assigned. And then he went on, if that weren't enough, to belittle Trump supporters by saying he could smell them at a Walmart in Virginia. This is the person we needed to avoid a conflict of interest. And then he said this, they fully deserve to go and demonstrate the absolute bigoted nonsense of Trump. But he wasn't content to just disparage Donald Trump. He had to disparage Donald Trump's family. This is what he said, Mr. Deputy Attorney General. He said, the douchebags are about to come out. He's talking about our First Lady and children, this conflict of interest-free special agent of the FBI. This is who we were told we needed to have an objective, impartial, fair, conflict of interest-free investigation. So he's openly pulling for the candidate he had a role in clearing, and he's openly investigating a candidate that he has bias against. And then if that's not enough, he says Trump is an effing idiot. What the F just happened to our country? This is the same man that said he would save our country. What happens when people who are supposed to cure the conflict of interest have even greater conflicts of interest than those they replace? That's not a rhetorical question. You nor I nor anyone else would ever sit Peter Strzok on a jury. We wouldn't have him objectively, dispassionately investigate anything, knowing what we know now. Why didn't we know it ahead of time? And my last question, my final question to you, and I appreciate the chairman's patience, how would you help me answer that question when I go back to South Carolina this weekend?
Congressman, first of all, with regard to the special counsel, Mr. Strzok was already working on the investigation when the special counsel was appointed. The appointment that I made was to Robert Mueller. So what I'd recommend that you tell your constituents is that Robert Mueller and Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray are accountable, and that we will ensure that no bias is reflected in any of the actions taken by the special counsel or in any matter within the jurisdiction of the Department of Justice. When we have evidence of any inappropriate conduct, we're going to take action on it. And that's what Mr. Mueller did here. As soon as he learned about this issue, he took action. And that's what I anticipate that the rest of our prosecutors, our new group of U.S. attorneys, our Justice Department appointees, they understand the rules and they understand the responsibility to defend the integrity of the department. And if they find evidence of improper conduct, they're going to take action. So, Congressman, that's the best assurance I can give you. But actually, there's one other point, which is you should tell your constituents that we expose this issue because we're ensuring that the Inspector General conducts a thorough and effective investigation. And if there is any evidence of impropriety, he's going to surface it and report about it publicly.
I'll try.
Time of the gentleman has expired.
Okay, so that was Trey Gowdy of South Carolina. And he was speaking with Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And they were discussing this individual who allegedly, you know, was impartial and is going to be investigating. Now, for the record, he was fired, and he was fired before any of this information got out to the public. And this individual, Mr. Rod Rosenstein, he portrays it like the reason that they had released this information to the public was because of, you know, that it appeared it could have made a bias. Well, they didn't really release that to the public. Those text messages were leaked, and they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, so they had to actually admit why they fired this individual. But Jim Jordan, representative from Ohio, he really breaks it down and does an amazing job. And I want you to hear what he has to say. And then I want you to hear what Representative Farenthal exposes by this individual, just how much they disdain the Constitution of the United States of America and your right for a warrant. So if you would, Mike, please play LB2.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Ohio, Mr. Jordan, for 5 minutes.
Did the FBI pay Christopher Steele, and was the dossier the basis for securing warrants at the FISA court to spy on Americans associated with the Trump campaign? Really, when you sum it all up, it boils down to those fundamental questions. Did you pay the guy who wrote it? And did you use what he wrote, disproven, discredited dossier paid for by the Clinton campaign? Did you use it to go get warrants to spy on Americans? That's what it comes down to. And you're the guy who can answer those questions. And I was yesterday I was convinced that the answer to those questions was probably yes. But today I'm even more convinced the answer is yes, based on the text messages we got to read early this morning. Mr. Rosenstein, you know Peter Strzok, you familiar with that name?
Yes, I'm familiar with the name. And
former deputy head of counterintelligence at the FBI? Peter Strzok, that one?
I don't know his precise title, but yes, he had a significant role in...
Peter Strzok ran the Clinton campaign, interviewed Mills, Abedin, Clinton, changed the exoneration letter from gross negligence to extreme carelessness. Peter Strzok, who ran the Russian investigation, interviewed Mike Flynn. Peter Strzok, selected by Mr. Mueller to be on his team. That Peter Strzok, we learned, had all these text messages. We got to read some of them early this morning. Now, as my colleagues have pointed out, some of them are, you know, they show he didn't like Trump. He and Ms. Page are exchanging text messages back and forth, show they don't like the president. But that's nothing new. Everyone on Mueller's team, no one on Mueller's team likes Trump. We already knew that. But I want to focus on one in particular. One in particular. And this is a text message from Mr. Strzok to Ms. Page, recalling a conversation and a meeting that took place in Andrew McCabe's office, deputy director of the FBI, recalling a meeting earlier. And Mr. Strzok says this: I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office. Then there's a break. Dash, it says that there's no way he gets elected. No way Trump gets elected. He says, I want to believe that. You said that in a meeting in Andrew McCabe's office. I want to believe that. But then he goes, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. Now, this goes to intent. He says, we can't take the risk. You know, the people of this great country might elect Donald Trump president. We can't take this risk. This is Peter Strzok, head of counterintelligence at the FBI. This is Peter Strzok, who I think had a hand in that dossier that was all dressed up and taken to the FISA court. He's saying, we can't take the risk. We have to do something about it. Now, don't forget the timeline here either, Mr. Rosenstein. Peter Strzok, January 10th, he's the guy who changes the exoneration letter from gross negligence criminal standard to extreme carelessness. July 2nd, he's the guy who sets in on the Clinton interview. July 5th, 2016, that's when Comey has the press conference and says, we're not going to prosecute. Clinton's okay, we're not going to prosecute. And then August 2016, we have this text message. The same month that the Russian investigation is opened at the FBI, August 2016. And my guess is that's the same month that the application was taken to the FISA court to get the warrants to spy on Americans. Using this dossier that the Clinton campaign paid for, Democrats paid for, fake news, all dressed up, taken to the court. So I got really just a couple basic questions. Because it seems to me if the answer to any of these, of those two questions, if the answer is yes, if you guys paid Christopher Steele at the same time the Democrats in the Clinton campaign were paying, or if you took the dossier, dressed it all up, took it to the FISA court, and used that as the basis to get warrants, and now we have intent in this text message saying, that, there's another text message, my colleague referenced it earlier, where Mr. Strzok says, I can protect our country at many levels. Says it with all the humility he could muster. I can protect our country at many levels. This guy thought he was Super Agent James Bond at the FBI. This is obvious.
All right. So as you can tell, Jim Jordan, the representative from Ohio, he really nailed it on the head. The corruption that is leading all the way up, even under the special investigation. Why is this important? It leads back to, once again, the Hillary Clinton corruption. Why is this important? Because it is connected. Hillary Clinton's connection to Uranium One, which connects to the Bundys, which we just found out tonight that there is an alleged kill list. And in this alleged kill list, it has been alleged that a whistleblower has come out. Yes, just one second. It has been alleged that Stephen Myrie, the lead prosecutor in the Bundy trial in the Las Vegas, has been caught, of course, with his hands in the cookie jar. All of this evidence that's been withheld, all of this interconnects. Let's go ahead and finish that clip.
Country at many levels. This guy thought he was Super Agent James Bond at the FBI. This is obvious. I'm afraid we can't take that risk. We can't. There's no way we can let the American people make Donald Trump the next president. I got to protect our country. This is unbelievable. And I'm here to tell you, Mr. Rosenstein, I think the public trust in this whole thing is gone. So it seems to me you got two things you can do. You're the guy in charge. You're the guy who picked Mueller. You're the guy who wrote the memo saying why he needed to fire Comey. You're the guy in charge. You could disband the Mueller special prosecutor, and you can do what we've all called for. Appoint a second special counsel to look into this, to look into Peter Strzok, Bruce Ohr, everything else we've learned in the last several weeks.
Yes, Congressman, and I can assure you that I consider it very important to make sure the thorough review is done, and our Inspector General is doing a thorough review. That's how we found those text messages as part of that review.
Let me, you've given that answer like 15 times. Let me ask you this. Are you concerned? I mean, this is what a lot of Americans are believing right now, and I certainly do, that the Comey FBI and the Obama Justice Department worked with one campaign to go after the other campaign. That's what everything points to. Think about what we've learned in the last several weeks. We first learned they paid for the dossier. Then we learned about Peter Strzok. And last week we learned about Bruce Ohr and his wife, Nell. I mean, this is unbelievable. So what's it going to take to get a second special counsel to answer these questions and find out, was Peter Strzok really up to what I think he was?
I think it's important to understand, Congressman, we have an inspector general who has 500 employees and a $100 million budget. And this is what he does. He investigates allegations of misconduct involving department employees. That review that he is conducting is what turned up those text messages. It will also involve interviews of those persons and of other witnesses.
So we're looking forward to his report, and we've met with Mr. Horowitz, and we're anxiously awaiting that report. But that doesn't dismiss the fact that the country thinks we need a second special counsel. 20 members of this committee, the Judiciary Committee with primary jurisdiction over the Justice Department, thinks we need a second special counsel. All kinds of senators think we need a special counsel. What fact pattern do you have to have? What kind of text message do you have to see before you say it's time for a second special counsel?
I want to assure you, Congressman, I think the Attorney General explained, we take very seriously the concerns of 20 members of this committee.
Okay. And so, as you can hear, he's assuring Jim Jordan, which no one buys into the assurances of the Federal Bureau of Intimidation anymore, nor the Department of Justice. Now, why is this all interconnecting and disturbing? I will tell you why, and you will hear it for yourself. You will not hear it from me. You will hear it for yourself out of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein's own mouth. However, this is very important to understand. Comey was over the FBI when the situation was happening with the Bundys. Comey and Mueller are very close. This interconnects with all of the Uranium One. This interconnects. So when you go down that spider web, you realize that all the individuals, including Mueller, from what has been reported, have ties to the Uranium One situation, which of course directly leads back to the situation with the Hammonds out in Oregon, which of course led to the protest at Malheur Wildlife Refuge, which of course also leads to the Bundy situation in Nevada. We also need to understand the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. If you remember hearing, he said that he was using FISA to get warrants to spy on Americans. Now, if you don't know what FISA is the United States Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, also known as FISC, F-I-S-C, also called the FISA Court or FISA. It is a United States, quote unquote, federal court established and authorized under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978 to oversee requests for surveillance warrants against foreign spies inside the United States by federal law. So let's make that very clear. FISA is for foreign spies, yet time and time again, they are bypassing real warrants, constitutional warrants, Fourth Amendment warrants, where you go before a regular judge and say, hey, I need a warrant in order to be able to search this property or to be able to seize this property for evidence. And they skip all of that. They skip
that.
They got
it right. No, they got it right. It's being used by government foreign intelligence agents, which is our incorporated government working at the behest of the European bankers, against patriots. So yeah, it's being used by government foreign spies, foreign intelligence officers working against the patriotic Americans.
No, it's for collecting the warrants on foreign spies. Not
no, I know what you're
foreign
saying.
Spying, like right.
I know what you're saying,
but we don't want to confuse
flipping
people.
It upside down. They are the true foreign spies. If you look
they
at exactly
are.
If you look at who our incorporated government is owned by and works for, which is the European bankers, and then you know it's clear to make the case that the foreign intelligence officers, the foreign spies, the foreign surveillance is. It's being used by the foreign agents in the government against us, so it's kind of upside down. In their mind, they've legalized the unlawful.
Right, but
you know,
what we
Lori,
need to make people realize, go ahead.
I was only going to remind you that we had some of the same sorts of activities when Harry Reid tried to claim that all Americans were terrorists, mm-hmm. especially the Bundy group, the America-loving people out there who supported life, liberty, freedom, the Bill of Rights, and the other things that we all believe in so dearly. And he was obviously up to his eyes in this with his son, Rory Reid, Hillary mm-hmm. Clinton, his Neil Cornsey at the BLM, who hired these corporate mercenaries, who did this murderous activity on the test site, who didn't get warrants to do their aerial surveillance, video surveillance, mm-hmm. drone surveillance, who murdered their cattle, who abused people, cattle prodded them, tore up the infrastructure, Walker. These are nothing but American terrorists on this soil, but they try to claim that we're the terrorists. That deflection is exactly what Mossad mm-hmm. has been doing forever.
Well, so with the Foreign Intelligence Court, this gentleman, Rod Rosenstein, admits that he does not support getting a warrant. Could it be because he didn't want to be able to obtain them with the flimsy evidence or hearsay that they use now? You know, they do that in the FISA courts, but they wouldn't be able to do it. It's bad when you're in a system right now that a lot of the judges are corrupt and they can't obtain a warrant on the flimsy evidence that they have. That's sad. Could it also be because no judge in their right mind would issue a warrant under what they currently consider to be enough evidence to spy on the American people under FISA? Let me let you hear what Rod Rosenstein, this Representative Farenthal from Texas, he is questioning Attorney Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein today, and listen to what he questions and the answers that this Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein gives. Mike, if you would, please play LV3.
I wonder if Rosenstein's...
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Texas, Mr. Farenthal, for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I know we've talked a lot about this today, but I feel obliged on the account of the folks that I represent are always asking me about this to say there is a real concern out there in Texas, certainly, and I think around the nation, that we've got a special counsel who's working 24/7 investigating the Trump administration, yet the Department of Justice, the various witnesses we've had up here, has basically not been able to confirm or deny what investigations, if any, are going on with respect to the potential misdeeds of the Clinton campaign and their dealings with Russia, be it through Uranium One.
All right, and we're going to hold right there, and we will come back and finish that after a couple of words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, my friends. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We got Lori Anderson tonight. We've heard some excellent, I don't know what to call it, excellent news from John Lamb. It's good to get that all this truth is getting flushed out. But my God, an assassination list that the government has that they were going to use on the Patriots. Kill them all. We'll slaughter the whole Patriot crowd. Spare no life, women and children. Kill everybody. I can hear the government pigs right now planning this. It's disgusting. Chris, go ahead. Hey, Chris, I wonder if Ed Rosenstein's a Zionist. How about we just call him Ed Zionstein?
Well, that would be appropriate, probably. I was just kind of wondering. I see so many parallels and mirrors directly to my case. I expect that they probably had a hit list down here in the southern Nevada, Las Vegas areas because it's so close to Mesquite. And connected to Malheur, where they obviously had this hit-less operation going. And since so-called fatal detective Kevin Mead is full-time assigned to the FBI, I think there's a high likelihood that they're planning the exact same tactics and techniques. So I'm going to have to make sure that those things are on my evidence list that I'm seeking also. But I find that when we look at the FISA court particularly, it's important for Americans to note this is not a court of law. It is actually an inquisition, like the Spanish Inquisition, or a star chamber court. We're going back to the Sanhedrin or Sanhedrin of the ancient Sumer and Babel Pharisaic Talmudic courts. These things are more nothing recently, but show trial.
That's right. And more recently in England, if you look in Black's Law, it'll explain what a star chamber court is, and it won't give you the complete straight story. Black's Law is kind of twisted to promote the attorney lie, but it is a real thing, and it does manifest itself up until recent history, until right to this day. They reinstated it after all these staged false flag terror attacks. They're able to ram through all these FISA courts, things, and Star Chamber courts, and Patriot Acts, and NDAAs, and all the other litany of government atrocities. And look who the real terrorist is. They've got a hit list that they're going to say, boy, I guess the Bundys did have some reason to be in fear of their lives, and the good thing they did show up. Really? I don't think they begrudge them showing up with arms at all. Yeah, you did. There's the government hit list. Go ahead, Lori.
So let's finish listening to this because I know y'all are going to have a lot of comments about this, Eric and Chris. So yeah. Let's finish the Representative Farenthal from Texas. His inquisition with the Deputy Attorney General. Mike, if you would continue playing that clip, please, and how it shows it's connected to Uranium One.
Department of Justice and various witnesses we've had up here has basically not been able to confirm or deny what investigations, if any, are going on with respect to the potential misdeeds of the Clinton campaign and their dealings with Russia, be it through Uranium One, various speaking engagements for former President Clinton, and the like. And again, I'm not asking you to break that confidentiality, but I am suggesting that there are a lot of people out there who will be sadly disappointed if there isn't an investigation in it, who may actually, or who do actually think that there might ought to be a special prosecutor or a special counsel appointed to look at the other side. So instead of beating that dead horse, I'm going to beat another one that I've been talking a lot about, and that's specifically the DOJ's opposition to the USA Liberty Act. Why is it so hard? Why is it a warrant requirement so difficult to deal with on your part? We understand the need to have exigent circumstances where things get looked at quickly, but it's like the FISA court and this whole process of obtaining things for foreign intelligence purposes to stop terrorists are being rolled into more normal mainstream criminal investigations where traditionally there's been a need for a warrant. Why is it so difficult to get a warrant? In many cases, you can create the necessary probable cause and paperwork in a matter of hours, if not minutes. There are judges on call 24/7 to look at these things. Why is it such a problem, and why are y'all opposed to it?
I believe I don't want to duplicate Director Ray's comments about this, Congressman. I wish, actually, that you could join us in the department and see how we go about our work, and I think that would actually enhance public confidence. The public sees when things go wrong. They don't see the 99.9% of the time, as Congressman Marino pointed out, when things go right, and it would be burdensome. And I certainly respect and I understand the concerns, Congressman, and I think those are serious concerns, and we're going to do everything that we can to try to reassure people about it. But I can simply tell you, and it would take me a lot longer than the time that you have to explain the full process, but I believe Director Ray is correct about this, and the national security community, I know many folks who were involved pre-9/11 and post-9/11 have spoken up about how important it is for us to have this tool, because we do not want to be in a position again as we were at 9/11, when people said, why didn't the FBI put these facts all together and figure out about this threat before the terrorists attacked? So that's the basis, Congressman, and I can assure you that if it were easy to do with a warrant, I'd be in favor of it, but it's not, and I believe that we have appropriate safeguards in place and that we have people who are responsible, who are conducting these investigations and are going to avoid infringing Americans' rights. That's our primary concern. Attorney General Sessions has made that one of his priorities to make sure that there are no violations of Americans' rights. And I do not believe the program as it exists represents a violation of anyone's rights.
Well, you and I may respectfully disagree on whether it violates folks' rights or not. I agree we've got to fight terrorism, but there's a reason the Fourth Amendment was included in the Constitution. Finally, I just want to touch for a second on cybersecurity. I used to run a computer consulting company, and you've heard about breaches all throughout the public and private sector. Can you just give me an overview quickly about what y'all are doing with respect to that and what, if anything, Congress needs to do to help you?
It would be hard for me to do it quickly, Congressman, because we do have a lot of resources, both the FBI and other agencies, that are protecting against the cyber threat. It's a significant threat. We face both an intelligence threat from hostile foreign governments and also a criminal threat from people who try to break into our systems to commit crimes and defraud Americans. And so it's a very challenging issue, as you know from your experience. Technology continues to evolve, and we need to stay a step ahead of the capabilities of our adversaries and of criminals. So the FBI does have a lot of resources devoted to that. I testified about our budget a couple of months ago, and I think that's going to be an area where we will need increasing support from the Congress to make sure that we keep up with our adversaries.
I see my time has expired. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so let's listen to this quote. Quote, it would be burdensome, unquote. They're using the 9/11 excuse. He said, now, once again, all in the name of safety. It is supposed to be burdensome. Let's repeat what that Fourth Amendment says. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. No warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And that is why this gentleman is against it. How dare you try to act like it is all because the name of safety? How many terrorist attacks have they actually stopped? The FBI knew about the Boston bombing. The FBI knew about the individuals that dealt with the gay nightclub shooting over there in Florida. The FBI knew about the individuals, and yes, I said individuals, even though it hasn't been reported yet other than one alternative media, it in Las Vegas, Nevada. How many different incidents have happened, and then later on it comes out that the Federal Bureau of Investigation or Intimidation, whichever one you want to call it, have actually known about these individuals before people have been murdered and did nothing. This is a farce. The reason that they do not want, the Department of Justice does not want the USA Liberty Act, is because it is enforcing that on the people of the United States of America, you must get a constitutional warrant, not some secret hearing in a FISA court where no one has the right to even defend or dispute it. How many times do they use hearsay to gain these warrants? They don't like that Fourth Amendment because that Fourth Amendment, you have to have probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. That probable cause is a nasty thing to government agencies that want to violate your rights because that's inconvenient for them. They use the Facebook postings. That's hearsay. Facebook will not even authenticate anything that is posted on it. You understand that? They will not even authenticate anything that is on the postings on Facebook. And they use this time and time again against individuals in court.
You know, Lori,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, may I? This is Gary Dunn. May I? This is Gary Dunn.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Lori, this is Gary Dunn asking a question of you and whoever else wants to answer the question.
Sure.
Are you familiar with a book called The Learned Elders of Zion? The Protocols of Learned Elders of Zion?
I've heard of it, but I have not read it.
Okay. That was my next question. Have you read? And you said no. I would suggest, and Eric can tell you, and Chris, we took this and put out in public radio through this radio station, and we shared with it. I've been attuned to this thing for about 30 years, the Protocols of Learned Elders of Zion. And of course, Henry Ford's book out, I don't know if you've ever seen Henry Ford's book about the international Jew. And I think it was Patrick Henry, somebody can straighten me out. He said, if you allow these Jews into America in his time, he said, in less than 200 years, your children will be slaves in the field, and the Jews will be in the counting house rubbing their hands. Now, the situation is, I hear what you're saying and what you're reporting and what's coming forth even makes this thing more drastic than I thought it was, that it was. This is where we sit in America. And this Rosenthal, or Rosenthal, whatever his name was, he's not an Eskimo. Guarantee it. Okay? I'll guarantee it. And see, this is the problem we have. We've got to understand about genetics. okay? And we have to understand about tonight.
Well, Gary, just to add to that, though, but you do realize, biblically speaking, because you're going off a biblical stance again, and that's fine, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So this divisionary, and I understand where you're going with the historical aspect of it, but it is not always just the quote-unquote Jew, if you will.
Well, I can go you one step further. Then, if you want to go biblically, I was going to stay away from that, but I'll go you one step further. Then the Father, when he was walking the face of this earth in flesh and blood, only by he was in flesh and blood, he turned to the Jews and he says, "You Jews, traverse the world to find yourself one proselyte. And when you find him, you make him a proselyte, you make him twice a child of hell as you are." Now, the proselyte are the Israelites who sell their birthright through the Jewish protocols. If you want to read them and look at them. This is a very serious
thing. Right,
I don't want to go into the situations. Please let me finish. I will let you finish forever. Please let me finish. These things are something that's going to affect my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren who are born already. If someone doesn't step up and say, "Listen, was Aaron Burr right when he told George Washington, you're not going to make Hamilton the Secretary of the Treasury?" And he killed Hamilton in a duel?
Yeah, that's a very interesting historical...
Let's think about our history a little bit. Let's forget that.
Right, I understand
thing,
about that. But I'm telling you, you're also acting like all the Israelites are of that.
I'm going to quote it too.
I'm not going to argue on a radio show.
I don't want to argue. Not all that claim
they are of Israel are considered Israel. That is word of God as well. But we are on a different topic, and I would like to stick to that topic. What do you think about the FISA court?
Hey, Lori?
Yes.
I was going to suggest to your comment before Gary's learned comment that the FISA court, of course, being the Star Chamber, in that type of court system or scheme, as it more as accurately is called, the judge gets to decide on what evidence to admit, what witnesses to admit or exclude. They get to decide what court rules are, what the jurors are, who's allowed to testify, who's not allowed to testify. That is the very definition of a tyrant, according to Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Further, whenever police officers, BLM agents, all these government actors have financial, fiduciary, and other self-interest in the outcome of the case, it makes them biased. They are owned by the company, the corporation they work for, and are bound to protect it above all others. That makes them not neutral, unbiased, and competent to be a independent witness. That makes them conflicted, therefore hearsay, and not eligible to testify.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they get by with this. Time and time again.
I am glad Gary brought that up, because we do want to get in the future, in a future broadcast, we're going to reopen the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and see how it manifests itself in all the specific reporting that Lori is doing. You know, we see this bigger, this greater picture of a plan that's multi-generational. It's call it what you will, leftist, progressive, globalist, you know, whatever label you want to, we all know what it is. It's an international agenda that's multi-generational and manifests itself in our lives to this day. So back to you, Lori.
Right. And there's no issue with that, but the issue is we need to stay on topic, and everyone does not fit into that specific category. Just like all Christians don't fit into a specific category, or all progressives don't fit into a specific category. They're individuals. And in order for us to be able to have people see us as individuals, we have to see them as individuals. If we don't know them personally, we don't know what their thought pattern is or what they are actually doing. That is what is destroying a lot of movements, because, or even into the court systems, because it's being lumped into a groupthink mentality, and individuals need to be judged on the basis of their individual actions and what they are actually doing. And that is the point I'm trying to make with that. On top of that, I don't know if you heard about this, but there was an 84-year-old Christian Korean War veteran, and he fired at point-blank range and shot a home intruder. The 84-year-old Korean War veteran is crediting the Lord Jesus Christ with his shot to the chest of a home intruder on Friday morning that left the intruder dead. Early Friday morning, two would-be robbers broke into his home. His name is Don Lutz, in Lawrence County, Pennsylvania. Lutz recounted that he woke up Friday morning at about 1:15 a.m. However, no sooner had they entered the house than they were met by Lutz and his handgun that he normally keeps under his pillow. Lutz says that he fired a shot in the dark, and he and one of the men got into a scuffle. That's when he shot him at point blank in the chest, killing him. Quote,
wow.
Two guys tried to rob me, and I killed one of them, Don Lutz said, according to WTAE-TV. Maybe the other one, the bullet hit him, too. I hope so, unquote. I just fired one shot. It was in the dark, and he attacked me, and we were close, and I shot him, Lutz said. I scuffled with them on the floor, and the one guy rolled over dead, and the other guy, he jumped up, and he ran out of the front door. It turns out that the man who was shot was a distant relative of Lutz. Elwood City Police said 49-year-old Dennis Mersande of Mercer was identified through facial recognition and fingerprints, and he turned out to be a nephew-in-law of Lutz. Lutz, an Army veteran, says he's a little sore from the scuffle, but is okay, and credited God and the Lord Jesus Christ for his protection. Quote, I've never been afraid in my life, Lutz said. God has always been with me, and I'm a hard believer in God and Jesus Christ, and God was with me tonight. Lutz is not facing any charges, and Elwood police are calling the shooting justified. Now, on another note, there was an armed thug that went into a Taco Bell. Well, he went into the wrong Taco Bell. An armed robber who thought that he could get away with cash from a Taco Bell restaurant was blindsided when he came face-to-face with employees who confronted him with their own firearms. According to WJW-TV, two armed robbers stormed inside a Cleveland-area Taco Bell on September the 6th around 2 a.m. Cleveland.com reported that the robbers demanded that the employees get on the ground before walking up to a cash register to steal money. That's when three employees pulled out their own guns in self-defense and fired several shots. One of the criminals ran out of a fast food restaurant while the other was critically injured. When police arrived at the scene, they found one of the robbers with multiple gunshot wounds. He later died at an area hospital. The man who was fatally shot was identified as 24-year-old DeCarlo Jackson, a man with lengthy criminal history. On his record were three prior convictions for attempted drug trafficking. What would have happened if these employees were not able to defend themselves? If it was up to liberal lawmakers, Second Amendment would be obsolete. These employees and other well-intentioned Americans would not be allowed to carry guns at all, and criminals would have the freedom to threaten the lives of innocent people. I want to say kudos to this Taco Bell management for allowing and supporting the employees for being armed. Now, I wanted to bring this up because according to InfoWars, and I normally don't read InfoWars, to be honest with you, but there's a gun bill that is going through Congress that could significantly increase the number of Americans banned from buying guns. This is a dangerous notion, and it needs to be fought against. So the bill that was originally for the concealed carry reciprocity law that had been passed by the U.S. House of Representatives that gun owners all over the nation had rejoiced about, well, apparently, the last week after that had happened, they were having an issue with putting a last-minute change into the bill that could substantially increase the number of Americans that are being banned from buying guns. So the poison pill completely ruins the bill, of course, and it must be voted down. Everyone look that up. Even Representative Gohmert caught it at the last minute, and he voted no against it. Republicans rammed a bill through the House, is reported, quote, Republicans rammed a bill through the House on Wednesday that would make it easier for gun owners to legally carry concealed weapons across state lines, the first significant action on guns in Congress since mass shootings in Nevada and Texas killed more than 80 people. The House approved bill 231-198, largely along party lines. Six Democrats voted yes, while 14 Republicans voted no. The measure would allow gun owners with a state-issued concealed carry permit to carry a handgun in any state that allows concealed weapons. It now goes to the Senate. It would be easy to assume that since virtually every single Republican voted for the bill that it must be a good thing. But it turns out that a change was inserted into the bill at the last moment that many lawmakers never read. I would suggest you please look this up. And as always,
yeah,
everyone,
convenient.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're going to get shit. Yes. Like every Christmas, they're going to shaft us in multiple ways through legislation while people are sleeping and partying. Lori, thank you for being on the board. Thank you, Gary and Chris. We appreciate your words of wisdom and your kindness for joining us tonight. Thank you to Tom Lacovara. Thanks, Mike Herzog, John Stantmiller. And everybody, please join us again tomorrow night on Resurrect the Republic. It's Eric the Freedom Screamer. We'll see you again tomorrow night. Thanks again. God bless and have a good one. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. And as always, watch your backs, check your facts, Semper Fidelis, and have a wonderful night.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.